Thanks for joining us and listening to this sermon from Pompey Community Church. Our desire is that you can hear the Word of God and the Gospel preached wherever you are right now. We pray that this message will lift you up and help you on your journey as you grow closer and closer to Christ.
Well, next Sunday, December 3rd, we will experience a rare and special event in the history of Pompey Community Church. We will welcome the man and his family who this church's pastoral search team and oversight council believe God has raised up to become Pompey Community Church's next lead pastor. I just want you to think about the gravity of this for a moment. This is a uniquely important Sunday in the life of Pompey Community Church. It represents the culmination of the transitional period that we've been going through over the last 2 years. It honors all the work, I believe, that we've done in response to all that God has been teaching us about our church and His purposes for our church. And it signifies, I believe, that God has been preparing us, and He now believes that we're ready for a lead shepherd who will lead this church into its next chapter of church life. So I exhort you, next Sunday, this is not a Sunday to be taken lightly. This is a moment to be felt with great gravity. This is not just another Sunday with another guest preacher, followed by just another congregational meeting. This is a sacred moment in the life of this church. So, we must prepare ourselves spiritually for it. How do we go about doing that? How do we approach next Sunday, candidating Sunday, with due reverence, seeing it as a sacred moment in the life of this church? Well, I exhort you just practically, first of all, that you can prepare yourself between now and next Sunday by doing some homework. And we have given you a wealth of information about this candidate for lead pastor, John Andrew Clayton. By the way, he's from the South, so it's John Andrew. So that's how you refer to him, with both his first and middle name. If you haven't taken advantage of what's on our website, you've got between now and next weekend, and I really encourage you to spend some time there reading what's there about him, checking out the sermon links, listening to his sermons. You'll find, again, the page, if you go to our website, you will find a panel that says Meet Our Lead Pastor Candidate, and if you click on that, you will arrive at the page you now see on the screen, Meet Our Lead Pastor Candidate. And there you'll first see the candidating week schedule. By the way, that's also in the insert in your bulletin today. That tells you all of the events that you can attend next weekend. We have tried to create, in the short amount of time that they'll be here, we've tried to create opportunities for all of you to meet John Andrew and his wife Christy and their kids. And I think they're even bringing some of their parents as many times as is possible for you and your schedule. Following that, you'll see a note from our candidate. This is something John Andrew has written. I think it gives you a brief glimpse of his heart. I think it shows you about his calling to pastoral ministry and his desire to become part of the Pompey Community Church family. Following that, you'll find his resume, or a brief biography of John Andrew, that'll tell you just the basics about his family, his education, his experience, and his background. And then following that, you'll find his resume and the cover letter that he first sent to us when he first applied for this position. Following that, on the website below that, you'll find a note that I've written to you personally about John Andrew and Christy Clayton, and I'll say more about that in a few minutes. And then we've given you links to three of his featured sermons. These are just three that we've chosen out of many that you can listen to. They will give you a taste of John Andrew's preaching. You'll see there, though, below that, a link that you can go to with a list of additional sermons that he's preached for your further listening and viewing. And finally, we've given you John Anders' doctrinal statement. And you can read through that and see what he believes, what his biblical positions are. You can see how that aligns as well as it does with Pompey Community Church's doctrine of faith. I want to encourage you to take advantage of all of these materials and these resources that we've made available to you. You'll be more discerning when you meet and you converse with him next weekend, if you spend some time between now and then doing this kind of homework. You will be more ready to listen to his preaching and listen to what he shares in the different sessions that we have open to him if you spend some time between now and then looking at these materials. If in doing so this week, if you come up with questions about his experience, about his qualifications, even about his doctrinal beliefs, we want to help you resolve your questions. We would like to help you resolve your questions even before he's here next weekend. So I invite you, I encourage you, you can reach out to me personally. I've known him for 5 years now, more than 5 years now. You can reach out to any member of the Oversight Council. You can reach out to any member of the pastoral search team, all who've spent dozens and dozens of hours in conversation with him. There's a high probability that if you have a question about his experience or his beliefs or his ministry philosophy, that it's a question we've already asked him. And if that's the case, we can let you know what we've already found out. If it's a question we haven't even thought of to ask him, we'll find an answer for you. We will try to resolve that and get an answer to your question either before next weekend or prepare him to answer it next weekend when he's here. I also want to encourage you, as you plan next weekend, to take advantage of all the opportunities that we've provided for you to meet them. And again, I want to direct your attention to the insert in your bulletin, and you'll find what I'm about to mention briefly listed there. Men, first of all, Saturday morning, there's an opportunity for you to come and meet John Andrew. I think he's going to bring his father, and he's going to bring his two sons, Levi and Lucas. We're going to have a special men's breakfast that John Andrew is going to speak to. That will be 8 a.m. on Saturday. And a little bit of a twist, because we have a previously scheduled community event that day in the gymnasium area, the men's breakfast will be in here in the sanctuary. So we'll plan kind of lap food to make that a little easier. Women, similarly, you have an opportunity to meet John Andrew and Christy at a special women's lunch that's going to be at 11:30, again, in here on Saturday. Christy will be speaking, will be giving the devotional at that women's luncheon. John Andrew, I'm sure, will speak as well, but she'll be giving the short message that day. So that's open to women of all ages. I want to encourage you to come to that. If you like playing board games, you can bring your kids with you to a young family's game night on Saturday night at 6 p.m., Young is an expansive term. We're not putting age limits on that. But if that's something that you'd like to go to, that'll be an informal time. That's going to be hosted by Riker and Jenny Smith at their home, and you can talk to the Smiths to get more information about that. Next Sunday morning, there will not be Sunday school next Sunday morning. We invite you, though, to come a little bit early because John Andrew and Christy will be out in the foyer. We'll have some treats. We will have some coffee. It'll be an opportunity, if you haven't already met them, to meet them and interact with them just a little bit. And then in our service next Sunday, in our worship service, John Andrew will give the sermon that day. That will be his candidating sermon. Then we encourage you to plan on staying after the service. We're going to have a catered lunch, a wonderful lunch here for all who want to stay. That includes your kids or any guests that you have with you. We're going to have a lunch because following the lunch at roughly 1 o'clock, we're going to have an open congregational question and answer time with John Andrew. So John Andrew, I'll facilitate that, but John Andrew will take any of your questions that you care to ask him about anything within reason, and that'll be an opportunity for you to hear more about him then. And then following that question and answer time, we'll dismiss the Clayton family. They will go to a place that's out of earshot here, and we will convene a special congregational meeting. And that meeting will be for the specific purpose of voting to call John Andrew Clayton to become PCC's next lead pastor. And if you are a church member, you can participate in that vote. If you are a church member and you are not going to be here next weekend, a couple opportunities for you. First of all, this Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we are going to have a Zoom session for anyone. You don't even have to be a member. Anyone who can't be here next weekend but would like to meet and interact with John Andrew. If you talk with me after the service today or contact me between now and Tuesday, I will get you set up so you can participate in that. And members, if you're not going to be here next weekend, but you would like to vote in that special congregational meeting, we have absentee ballots that are available. If you talk to Steve Tennant or you talk to me, we will get you set up with an absentee ballot. All absentee ballots are due back by noon next Sunday. So that's the practical preparation. But now I want to exhort you to prepare yourself spiritually for next weekend. Why is that important? Because if you approach next weekend simply as a hiring process, if that's kind of how you come into it, that you're going to interview him and make a decision whether to hire him as your pastor or not, I believe you're going to miss God's big purposes, God's kingdom purposes for our church. I think you will overlook what God has been doing to prepare us for the beginning of a new era in this church's ministry. I believe that the theme verse for this pastoral search, what we've been doing really over the last year, it was about a year ago we began to train our pastoral search team to begin a pastoral search. If there is a theme verse that has bubbled up in that, it's the verse that, if you've been here any of about the last 2 months, you've heard when I have preached through our series in Revelation 2 and 3. It's the verse that we saw last in Revelation 3:22. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me tell you how that series came about on the seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor that we find in Revelation 2 and 3. I had not originally planned on preaching through those letters. But back in August, some of you may remember that the pastoral search team announced that they had found a candidate that they had recommended to the Oversight Council. This was not John Andrew Clayton. He was not even on the radar at this point. And if you were here and you heard that announcement, there was excitement about it. But then in successive weeks, you heard that the Oversight Council was doing interviews of that candidate. And then in September, the Oversight Council announced that after further interviews, they did not believe that man was the man who God was calling to become PCC's next lead pastor. Let me tell you, that was a hard decision for the Oversight Council to make. It was hard not only because of the decision itself and the implications for that man in our church, but it was hard because at the time there was not any other candidates on the horizon. There wasn't anybody else to go through. We'd gone through all the rest of those candidates. So we believed it was the right decision not to proceed with that man, but we were all a little discouraged. I'd say we were even confused at the time. We were wondering, what is God doing? What's he trying to say here that we're supposed to hear? And that was the phrase that started to spin around in my mind. What is it that we're supposed to be listening for? What is God? What is God's Spirit saying to us in this process, at this juncture, with this disappointment? What does the Spirit want to say to Pompey Community Church? I don't claim to hear from God audibly, but I do believe that God speaks through impressions the Holy Spirit makes upon our minds and our hearts. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 12 refers to this as a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. So when that phrase kept coming, turning around in my mind, what is God saying? What are we supposed to be listening for here? I heard what I believe is the Holy Spirit prompting me to that phrase, the one you see on the screen that appears 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I think the Holy Spirit was saying, listen to what I want to say to Pompey Community Church. And that led me to that series, thinking, believing, prayerfully believing that as we go through those letters, as we went through those letters, what we would hear from the Spirit saying to those churches might be what the Spirit wants to say to Pompey Community Church. Recall, if you can, the first letter to the church in Ephesus. This was a church that had lots of ministry activity, much like Pompey Community Church. But do you remember what Christ's concern was about that church? You have forsaken the love you had at first. Their love for Christ had faded. They were busy doing all the right things. They had a good doctrinal statement. They believed the right things, but they had lost somehow their focus on Christ. And when our love for Christ fades, we find it harder to love each other. We find it harder to have any sense of love for lost people, people who don't know Jesus. Well, what is it that the Spirit was saying to Pompey Community Church through that letter? I believe that the Lord is asking us to examine our hearts and to ask ourselves, do we love Christ above all else? If you remember the Vital Church Ministry Diagnostic Report from 2022, one of the root issues identified in that report was our tendency as a church in our past to be more pastor-centered than Christ-centered. To love and honor our pastor, but sometimes by raising up too high to make a functional idol out of our pastor. And that being the case, now here we were in September. Where were we with a pastor? We had no pastoral candidate to consider. How would we respond? I think that was a test from the Lord. Would we love Christ above all else? Do we desire Christ more than we desire a pastor? I believe that's what the Spirit was saying to Pompey Community Church through that setback in our search. And I believe that's what we need to continue to hear in that message so that we don't fall back into old patterns of being more pastor-centered than Christ-centered. And I believe that as we prepare for next weekend, the Spirit is reminding us that we need a lead pastor who loves Christ above all else and models for us what it means to love Christ above all else. Well, then there was the second letter to the church in Smyrna, and that was a church, you might recall, that was paying a high price for their faithfulness in the midst of their culture's growing antagonism towards Christianity. Their faithfulness meant that they were canceled by their culture. They were paying a high price financially, and their economic security was taken from them. They were slandered. They were ridiculed. They were lied about. They were attacked, all because they faithfully followed Christ. What was it that the Spirit, or what is it that the Spirit is saying to Pompey Community Church through that letter? When we think about all that has happened in our culture, even over the last couple of years since the pandemic, I think we've all seen, if we have eyes to see, our culture becoming increasingly antagonistic towards anyone who holds to biblical Christianity, towards anyone who wants to follow Christ faithfully. And we, if we're honest, we probably all feel some anxiety over the fear that that's only going to increase in the years to come. What will that mean for our church, we may wonder? What price will we have to pay if we refuse to compromise with our culture? And I believe the Spirit is asking us through the letter to the church in Smyrna, will you faithfully follow Christ in the face of growing cultural opposition? Will you stand firmly upon the Word of God even when people ridicule you, when people cancel you, when people persecute you? I believe this is what the Spirit was saying to this church. The Lord wants us to be faithful overcomers in the days and the years to come. And I believe the Spirit is reminding us that we need a lead pastor who will be courageous in his leadership of this church. We need a lead pastor who will faithfully and graciously preach the gospel and the uncompromising truth of the Bible, no matter how unpopular it becomes in our culture. And then there were the letters to the church in Pergamum and the church in Thyatira. The church in Pergamum, you may recall, was tolerating a form of false teaching that Christ refers to here as Balaamism. And he uses Balaamism, that term, as a symbol of any form of teaching that departs from the truth of the Bible in order to compromise with the ungodly values and lifestyles of the world around us. Similarly, the church in Thyatira was tolerating a self-proclaimed prophet who Christ calls Jezebel. He was borrowing from that Old Testament story of Jezebel. He's using Jezebel as the prototype of anyone who calls themselves Christian but teaches and seduces people into sexual immorality. That's something, by the way, that the Apostle Paul warns all churches about in Acts chapter 20. He warns us, we need to watch out for those who distort the truth, because there will always be those who try to water down the Bible's commands and precepts that confront the ungodly lifestyles and sexual practices in the culture. We see that happening all around us. And Christ condemns churches that tolerate this kind of teaching. He warns them, he will judge them. I believe what the Spirit was saying to Pompey Community Church through these two letters, the letter to the church in Pergamum and the letter to the church of Thyatira, is, will you guard against false teaching? I believe the Spirit is indicating that the Lord wants us to humbly submit ourselves to the authority of God's Word, to resist the compromising influence of our culture. And the Spirit is reminding us as we go into next weekend that we need a lead pastor who holds firmly to the trustworthy Word of God so that he's able to instruct us in sound doctrine and rebuke those who contradict it. Then there was the fifth letter. The fifth letter was to the church in Sardis. This is, you may recall, this is the church that had the reputation of being popular, being a successful church, being the place to go. But Christ says the real power of God is absent in your ministry. Sardis was the prototype of churches that focus more on keeping people entertained and feeling good about themselves than they do about teaching them how to follow Christ and live in obedience to His Word. And if you recall, Christ rebukes that church for becoming spiritually complacent, and He warns them that He will come in judgment against them if they do not wake up. And I believe what the Spirit is saying to Pompey Community Church through this letter is, will you prioritize discipleship over keeping people happy? I think he's reminding us that Christ did not create the church to entertain people or make them feel good about themselves. He created the church to make disciples, to teach and model for people what it means to follow him, to equip them to study his word and apply it to their lives, and to become disciple makers themselves. And I think the Spirit is reminding us here as we go into next weekend that we need a lead pastor who will keep us focused on Christ's great commission to make disciples. The sixth letter was the letter to the church in Philadelphia. This is a church that thought of itself as small and insignificant. Maybe some of you think about Pompey Community Church that way. We're not much of a church, not that big out in the country. We're small and insignificant. But if you remember, Christ praises that small, insignificant church. He praises them because they recognize open doors that He had set before them, and they faithfully walk through those doors. They faithfully responded to them. Remember what open doors means? Open doors is a symbol for opportunities for evangelism and ministry to lost people in the community around us. Christ is the one who opens the doors. He's the one who sets them before a church. He gives each church unique ministry opportunities, unique opportunities to reach into the community and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But churches have to be looking for these open doors. Churches have to be prayerfully seeking these opportunities and faithfully pursuing them when they recognize that the Lord is opening a door. And I believe that what the Spirit was saying to Pompey Community Church through this letter is, do you see the open doors that I've set before you? Are you prayerfully seeking opportunities in the surrounding community to share the gospel, to serve people who don't know Jesus? That's the Lord's heart for Pompey Community Church, that we reach into the community, that we take advantage of the unique opportunities, the open doors that He opens to them. But we have to be looking for them. We have to have our eyes turned outward. And the Lord, I think, is asking us, will you walk through the open doors that I have set before you? In other words, will you faithfully respond to the opportunities for evangelism and ministry in the community that I open for you? You know, that goes against our natural grain. Naturally, by default, we are inwardly focused. All churches are. Our natural default is to spend our money and our time and our energy on ourselves, on what happens within the walls of our church. But the Lord is calling us here in the letter to Philadelphia to have an outward focus, to look outward, to respond to open doors in our community. And as we go into the next weekend, I believe the Spirit is reminding us that we need a lead pastor who will keep us outwardly focused and help us to recognize and respond to the open doors of ministry opportunity that He creates. The final letter was to the church of Laodicea. 2 weeks ago we did that message. That church thought that they had built a successful ministry by their own abilities and their own resources. They were successful and they thought, we've done it. We've got everything we need. We're self-sufficient. Anything that comes our way, we can deal with it. We can take care of it. But Jesus said, your ministry is utterly worthless. Your ministry is like lukewarm water that neither refreshes nor heals. What we saw is the Laodicean church was the prototype for churches that they may offer a lot of social activities and programs, but they offer nothing that satisfies spiritual thirst of lost people. They offer nothing that heals the pain of people's hurts and cleanses them from their sin. And I believe that what the Spirit was saying to Pompey Community Church through that letter is, do we have an independent spirit, both as a church, but also as individual members of that church? You know, that runs in our blood. You know, it's kind of the American ethos, independence, autonomy, pridefully independent, both due to our sinful nature, but also our cultural upbringing. Our hearts are naturally full of pride and independence. And guess what? We bring those attitudes to church with us. And I believe what the Spirit is saying to us as Pompey Community Church is, do we depend upon ourselves to make things happen? Is that how we look at how a church is run and built and grows? Or do we depend upon God? Perhaps the greatest measure of this is in our prayer lives. You know, prayer is the expression of our dependence upon God. We need Him. We need Him to act. We need Him to lead. Prayerlessness indicates that we tend to be self-sufficient. We tend to be independent, that we don't really sense any need to depend upon God to get things done. And Christ says clearly here that a church full of independent, self-sufficient Christians is a lukewarm church, and a lukewarm church is totally useless to Christ's kingdom purposes in this world. It's not a healthy place, a lukewarm church, that the Spirit will draw spiritually weary and sick people to Him. We don't want to be that kind of church. And as we go into next weekend, we recognize we need a lead pastor who models a humble, prayerful dependence upon God. Are we listening to what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Are we listening to what the Spirit has been saying through these churches to Pompey Community Church? I believe He's been speaking to us as part of His preparation, even for next weekend, through these letters. I believe He's been challenging us. I believe He's been preparing us for a new era of ministry led by a new lead pastor. But as is indicated there, we have to have ears to listen. So how should this shape? How should these messages shape how we all go into next weekend? Well, again, think about the seven messages. Ephesus. Will we repent from our tendency to be a pastor-centered church? Will we call a pastor who will foster our love for Christ and help us to become a more Christ-centered church? Smyrna. Will we remain faithful to Christ in the midst of growing cultural opposition? Will we call a pastor who is committed to courageously and graciously preaching the unchanging, uncompromising truth of the Word of God? Pergamum and Thyatira. Will we humbly submit ourselves to the authority of God's Word? Will we take a stand against any form of false teaching that seeks to compromise it? Will we call a pastor who is able and capable of instructing us in sound doctrine and rebuking those who contradict it? Sardis, will we prioritize disciple making over keeping people happy? Will we call a pastor who models for us what it means to follow Jesus as His disciple, who will equip us to study the Bible and apply it to our lives, who will keep us focused on Christ's great commission to make disciples? Philadelphia, will we repent from our inward focus? Will we seek to be an outwardly focused church? Will we look for open doors of opportunity for evangelism and ministry that the Lord wants to set before us in the community around us? Will we call a pastor who models this for us and leads us in this? Laodicea, will we repent from our independence and self-sufficiency? Will we humbly acknowledge that powerful ministry comes out of a deep, prayerful dependence upon God? And will we call a lead pastor who models a humble, prayerful dependence upon God? You know, our answer, how we each individually answer those questions shows up in the attitudes and the words and the actions that we bring into next weekend. As you meet John Andrew and you interact with him and you form your opinion about whether he should be Pompey Community Church's next lead pastor, I urge you, I exhort you, I plead with you to listen to what the Spirit has been saying through these letters. Let that humble you. Let that put aside your personal preferences and any personal agendas you have for this church or its next lead pastor. Let that make you slow to speak and quick to listen to both John Andrew and to the unanimous recommendations of our pastoral search team and our oversight council. Consider what you're doing if you're a member of this church when you vote next Sunday afternoon. Pompey Community Church's bylaws say that a lead pastor is called by the process of the Oversight Council approving the candidate recommended to them by the pastoral search team, and that what the vote of the members is to confirm that decision. Think about what it means to vote to confirm the unanimous recommendation of the pastoral search team and the Oversight Council. It means you are indicating by your vote that you stand behind the decision of the Oversight Council. You stand behind the recommendation of the pastoral search team. It means that you recognize and honor all their months of work, 12 months for the pastoral search team, and the hundreds of hours that they have all invested in praying and interviewing and researching and sermon reviewing and reference checking. It means that you believe that they have prayed throughout this search process, that they have prayed asking for God to clearly reveal His will and raise up the man that He has chosen to be the next lead pastor. And it means that you now want to confirm all this with your vote, and you want to join in the invitation to John Andrew to become our next lead pastor. This is not a democratic process where you choose between candidates. This is a process in which you humbly recognize what God is doing and you join Him in it. Let me close with just a few remarks about John Andrew Clayton. This is a unique pastoral search for me. I've helped many churches go through a pastoral search. This is the first time that I have personally known a candidate. And even how I know him and how he came to be a candidate, I see God's hand in it. And I want to share that with you. In 2017, I was called to become the interim pastor of Central Church in Memphis, Tennessee, actually Collierville, Tennessee. That was a large church. The last two lead pastors, neither of them had lasted 18 months. It was a deeply, deeply conflicted church. Staff were at war within themselves and with the elders. Elders were at war within themselves and with the staff. There was a pastoral staff that included this young man, John Andrew Clayton. He and his wife had recently come back from the mission field in Ecuador, and they joined the staff. He had joined the staff as an associate pastor. For 2.5 years, I worked with that church, the first year and a half, just helping them sort through their conflict and deal with the issues that led to their conflict and find peace. Many of the staff members were so conflicted, they did not survive that transition. But John Andrew was one of the very small handful of staff and leaders who displayed a consistent godly attitude all through that process. He was of great help and great encouragement to me. I left that church healthy and with a new pastor, new lead pastor. John Andrew stayed on the staff there as an associate pastor. I've stayed in touch with that new lead pastor ever since. And just, you can say this is by chance or coincidence, or you can see the providence of God in it, but 2 weeks after Pompey Community Church's Oversight Council had made the decision not to proceed with the candidate that had been recommended to them at that time by the Oversight Council, I got a call from the lead pastor of Central Church. We regularly talk every 4 to 6 weeks, so it wasn't out of the ordinary that he would call me, but that was the timing of it. It was when nothing was on the horizon here. And in the course of our conversation, he mentioned John Andrew, and he just mentioned that he believed John Andrew was ready to assume a lead pastor role. And I asked him, do you think a young man who's grown up in Memphis would want to come to Western New York? especially if you've been through the climate of a year in Memphis, and then you think about the climate that we experience, you have both a cultural and a climactic real difference. And he said, you know, why not ask him? And so I texted John Andrew, and I sent him our pastoral profile, and I said, I realize it's a different part of the country and a different climate, but would you consider this opportunity? He called me right away, and he said, you're never going to believe this, but the previous day, the day before I had called him, I was on the website of Midwestern Seminary. He's working on his doctoral degree at Midwestern Seminary. He said, I was looking at what teaching opportunities, what adjunct or part-time teaching opportunities that there were. And lo and behold, Pompey Community Church, we had posted our lead pastor position on that website at Midwestern Seminary. And he said, I happened across it. And I didn't even know you were there, Dan, he told me. But he said, I was struck by what I read in the profile. And I thought, here is a church that lines up with what I believe is important for ministries. I resonate with what they present about themselves. He wasn't really looking at the time, but he even went so far as to go home and tell Christy, wow, I ran across this church today. It's, of all places, Western New York, but they seem to be really doing what I think God is calling us to. And then he said, the very next day, I got your text. So again, you can see chance in that, you can see coincidence in that, or you can see God working in his life and God working in the life of Pompey Community Church to providentially bring us to this place. I believe that is God orchestrating only after we had let go of our security of, here's the one candidate and the only candidate that we have. Only when we'd let that go and said, we'll trust you. We don't know what this means. We're a little scared. We're a little nervous. But we will let go of this one that we have, believing that you have something better. So you do with that story what you will. But I can tell you that I, in that, see the hand of God preparing this man and preparing this church for a partnership to lead this church into its next era of church ministry. Prepare your heart for next weekend. This is a sacred moment in the life of this church. Set aside time during the week. Set aside time next weekend. Come participate in this. Be part of what God is doing here. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We do see your providence in how you orchestrate events. And Lord, I certainly believe you have been providentially working here. We want to have eyes to see, and we want to have ears to listen to what your Spirit is saying to the church in Pompey Community Church. Lord, we want to hear what you've been teaching us. We want to let us shape us spiritually. We want to let it lead us into the repentance and faith that you desire from us collectively and individually. And we want it to shape how we go into next weekend. We pray, Lord, for spiritual discernment again to see your providential working. You're preparing us, you're preparing him. We want to celebrate what you have been doing, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, and we look forward to all that you have ahead until Jesus returns for Pompey Community Church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast to get all of the PCC sermons and visit us at pompeychurch.org. From everyone here at Pompey Community Church, we hope this sermon blessed you and that you have a great day.